From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is ESPN 97.5. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gau Media station. You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. A reminder, the Gold Cup returns to Houston. Group A doubleheader at BBVA Compass Stadium. Honduras and their Houston Dynamo Stars taking on French Guiana. And the same day, the 2014 World Cup sensation, the Ticos of Costa Rica, going head-to-head with 2000 Gold Cup champion Canada. Tickets as low as $30. Get your tickets today to goldcup.org. That's goldcup.org. July 11th at BBVA Compass Stadium. Two games for the price of one. Tickets at goldcup.org. Gold Cup, only one champion. Perfect segue into good friend of the show, good friend of mine, and one that many people know from his days with the U.S. national team. Marcelo Balboa of Univision joins me now. Marcelo, how are you?
I'm good, buddy. How are you doing?
Good. We got a lot to talk about here. I got to first ask you, being an ex-U.S. national team star on Univision broadcasts, I would love to have a camera on you guys in commercial break.
Why?
Well, I want to see how you defend yourself, because I got to think it's an unfair fight, right?
It's a little unfair when you're in Mexico City, but it's also interesting when the U.S. scores first.
Yeah.
So yes, it makes for an entertaining game if you were to have a camera on us.
Now look, I'm like you. We both know the amazing cultural impact of soccer with the Mexican fan and that country's passion for the game. We absolutely love it. It spilled over to help the game here in the United States. But let's talk about the expectations of fans, because they're either at the bottom of the barrel, like after Chile, or they're thinking they're going to win the next World Cup. How does that swing occur, and why is it so broad from bottom to top? And is basically the firing of Osorio, or the talk about the firing or not firing of him, is that a sport in Mexico?
You know, I think it's weird. I don't think they're going to fire Osorio. Somebody was just watching those guys in the pregame show, and no excuses this game. You know, you kind of got to go back and say, I think the Mexican fans are so in love with their team that they want to be successful. They want it to win a World Cup. They want it to be the best team in the world. Like the rest of us, they're just more vocal than everybody else. You know, I mean, when Mexico loses or ties, the next thing in the paper, it's the big thing, you know what I mean? So they talk about it. You know, if Osorio loses Germany, they're talking, will he be fired? Will he not be fired? In other countries, we're not talking about firing the coach. We're talking about the team that's getting ready now for Gold Cup. So, you know, it's a love-hate kind of relationship with their team.
Former U.S. national team defender. He also played in the Major League Soccer with Colorado Rapids. Marcelo Balboa joining us. He's an analyst for the Rapids, also on Univision. Then getting back to that, does that kind of make us think that Mexico and their fans, that passion that they have, even though it goes over the top sometimes, that's an element we want here in the United States, isn't it? Healthy pressure?
But it's getting there, I think. You know what? I remember back when we started playing, and I can always go back to the early 90s and in the late 80s. We were begging for people to come to the games. You know what I mean? We were drawing 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
And now you go to a stadium and the American Outlaws fill one side of the stadium and they travel all over the world to see the U.S. team. Look at the pressure that Jurgen Klinsmann got finally for not getting the results and not getting the team to play the way they wanted to. So I think we are getting there to that healthy pressure. When it gets negative, I think that's where it's a problem, but it's healthy to have pressure. If you're not performing well, people are criticizing you. If the team's not getting results, you're getting critique. Is it still where we want it to be? No, because as soon as football comes around, NFL starts, all the major league cities turn into NFL cities. You know what I mean? Here in Colorado, it becomes the Orange Crush. because of the Broncos. So we still got a ways to go, Glenn, but I think the pressure that the media finally is putting on soccer is a healthy pressure.
Yeah, no, I agree 100% with you from the perspective of the national team. But Major League Soccer is a whole different story. And, you know, I live it and breathe it here in this market. There's absolutely no healthy pressure on the Houston Dynamo. And that's something they need as an organization, as players, as coaches. And I'm not sure what it's like in Colorado, but I'm not thinking it's very good.
No, let me say this, Glenn. I just happened to be in Houston to do the Houston-Dallas game, the rivalry game, the 1-1 game. And I got to say, it's so nice to see Houston play and people come into the games, and Houston winning again. I think Wilmer has done a great job in his first year turning that program and that franchise around. I think we still do need pressure on the MLS teams. There's no pressure because there's no relegation. And when there's no relegation, there's no consequences for winning or losing every week. The only thing you get is you don't make the playoffs. You get in sixth position, seventh, eighth, ninth, the rest of those positions, you get rewarded for not making the playoffs. They give you allocation money. So I think the pressure of having the relegation in our sport is probably something that we would love to see in the next 10 years because of the fact that means now you got to go out and perform and you have to play every day. Without that pressure, sometimes, you know, you can kind of cruise through quite a few games knowing that there's no repercussions at the end.
Marcelo Balboa joining us here on ESPN 97.5. I just want to remind you, you picked the perfect night to be here because that was the biggest crowd of the year. The crowds have not been like that all year long. So it was a great night for your broadcast because you had the environment. The environment was excellent. And yes, I agree 100%. They've turned the product around. There's a lot of work to go here, though. And you use the word consequence, which I think is a very important word. Is there enough consequence in the regular season in Major League Soccer now? And I would say that with the addition of teams through expansion.
No, I don't think there is. You know what I mean? I think that the players need to be put on, you know, the bonus money needs to be different. There needs to be something at stake. I just remember playing in Mexico and all over the world. You have that relegation, that pressure that we need to perform today. We're on the road. We need to get a point. We need to get a result at home because if not, we're dropping into the relegation zone. So that pressure of knowing that your team may drop into the second division is huge. I mean, we don't have that kind of pressure. The only pressure we have in Major League Soccer is the pressure the players put on themselves and the pressure they get from their coaches and the fans because the fans want a championship team. But I don't think at the end there's any consequences, you know what I mean? And I think that's where the level still is different between our league, and it's gotten better, 100 times better, but it's still not. When people say, are we close to Mexico? Man, I remember in Mexico, we were fighting for our lives at León because we had to win the next three games to get ourselves out of the relegation kind of zone. And so I think there's still growth in teams. I think local media still don't put enough pressure on their local teams with their articles. I think sometimes there's quite a few pieces that people just write kindly instead of deeping into the real truth. But I think that's just where we're at in soccer right now.
Let's go back to Mexico. Mexico's playing tonight here in Houston. Obviously, we're in the midst of this show over at Energy Stadium against Ghana. This Mexico B team here. Talk about the split squads and what this means. This is a Gold Cup roster here, potentially a number of these guys. You got names like Alan Pulido, yet you also got young players that are trying to prove themselves over at Energy tonight, like Orbelin Pineda, Martin Barragan of Necaxa, who's a talented player. And then you got some veterans like Munoz and Corona as well. So, you know, talk about this whole split thing and how you think that's working for Osorio. I guess we're going to find out a little bit more tomorrow about that.
Well, at first, I don't think they had a choice. I don't think you can take a team to Confederations Cup and then come straight here and play in another three and a half week tournament. So I don't think there was an option. I think you have to prioritize which tournament's the most important one. And this was no disrespect to CONCACAF and Gold Cup. But when you got a chance to play in Confederations Cup where the World Cup's going to be held, you get to test out the environment, the stadium, the food, and live that what you're going to live next year. I think that's where you got to take your first team, and your second team comes back to CONCACAF, you know what I mean, to Gold Cup. So I think this is a great opportunity for a lot of players in Mexico to get looked at and to get an opportunity to play, just like the U.S. squad. You know, I think Bruce Arena made it very clear to us a while ago that don't expect to see the big-name players at the Gold Cup because they need a break. I need to look at some other players and start looking at the depth chart for the next year's World Cup. So I don't think you had a choice. I'm not a big fan, but I think in this situation, I don't think Mexico had a choice.
But I think it's also maybe a bit of a champagne problem because, look, you're getting a lot of guys' opportunity wearing the national team of Mexico in a competition. I think in some ways it's great to broaden out your roster. I would also then say, and you and me are guys that are going to watch this and be a part of it. I mean, I'm calling some of the games. I'm interested to see some of the emerging players. Not everybody wants to see that. Is the CONCACAF Gold Cup taking a bit of a hit here because, you know, maybe teams are looking at this tournament in a different way and maybe in more of a way where it includes the word development?
I think if you look at the U.S. squad, they're looking at finding some depth because they didn't bring a lot of their big-time players. I mean, hardly any. I think Mexico is doing the same thing. They're looking at developing some players. I think other teams, be it Canada and some other teams, are bringing full squads because this is the tournament they get, Honduras, Costa Rica. I think that some of these teams are coming out to win this Gold Cup and take that half bid for the next Gold Cup. So I think the U.S., listen, I think the U.S. still has a strong team. There's a lot of experience out there. Do I think the U.S. can reach the final and win it? I think they're deep enough that they can do that, and I think Mexico is too. But I'm going to go back and say, look at Canada squad, look at Jamaica squad, look at Costa Rica, look at Panama. They're not coming with B squads. They're coming three quarters full and then a little bit of some young players. So I would expect some big surprises at this Gold Cup.
Marcelo Balboa joining us. Yeah, I think surprise is definitely a word that is going to be used. Remember, Jamaica went all the way to the final on a Giles Barnes free kick against the United States. So expect maybe the unexpected in the Gold Cup. You can get your tickets at www.goldcup.org. So that's part one with Marcelo Balboa, the former U.S. international. Part two will be this Friday, and we'll talk more a little bit about the Dynamo taking on the Colorado Rapids, who he's very familiar with. We'll take a break. We've got more to come. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. You got sadness twisted up with
jealousy. You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
Welcome back to Soccer Matters here. A quick moment for John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. John and his firm are personal injury attorneys. They're going to bring you a personalized approach. It's DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. Doesn't matter whether your accident is car, boat, motorcycle, industrial, construction, plant, refinery, or 18-wheeler. The Daspit Law Firm will treat your case as if it's their own. They're bilingual. It's DaspitLaw.com. Daspit Law Firm is going to work for you 24-7. Fight for your right for compensation with the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. Also, let me tell you about Azure Salon in the heart of River Oaks and in West Ave Shopping. The stylists at Azure Salon keep me looking sharp for all my TV work. Azure Salon is the place to go. Guys, get to Azure Salon. Ladies, they've got you covered as well with color, cuts, extensions. AzureSalon.com, AzureSalon.com. All right. Earlier in the week, I had an opportunity to catch up with the coach of El Tri, the Mexican national team coach, Juan Carlos Osorio. Well, Juan Carlos, you know, I look at your schedule with you got two friendlies coming up, Croatia and Ireland, and ultimately you'll get to Houston here June 28th against Ghana. Confederations Cup, Gold Cup, qualifiers. How do you keep this all together?
Well, I think it is a very challenging situation. However, that's the way it is. We have to fulfill all the Mexican Federation commitments, and obviously also the two qualifying games, which are the most important games for us, and then the Confederations Cup. But the way we decide to do it is we have a list of 32 players, and for the first two, for the friendlies, and for the two friendlies against Croatia and Ireland, and then for the two qualifiers against Honduras and U.S. And the second group, and the same group will go for the Confederations Cup. And we have a second group made up of players with less experience, players that are either starting this year and or other players that are not frequently part of the squad that represents the national team. So basically we divide it into big groups, and hopefully we'll have enough depth in the two squads for us to have a good representation in both tournaments.
Juan Carlos, obviously us being here in Houston with Kubo Torres playing for the Houston Dynamo, does he figure into the plans, and what are your thoughts on Kubo at this moment?
Well, I think, we think that it says a lot about him. First of all, we all know that he had to adjust to the MLS. Something that I have mentioned in the past, it's a very athletic league. And at first it was difficult for him, like it is for everybody. But now that he has scored 8 goals in 9 games, and he's a very influential player, it only makes us believe that he's good for Mexican football. And we consider him as an important player, and we are keeping an eye on him. And hopefully he will be in one of the two squads that will represent Mexico in the next busy summer.
Mexican coach Juan Carlos Osorio, we're very pleased to have him joining us here on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5. Anytime you put out a roster, I kind of feel for you because, you know, you're going to get criticized no matter what. I think that's just a fact. Is that because just so much depth when it comes to the choices you have to make for the Mexican national team, the depth of players that you have?
I think it's a matter of how you want to look at it. This is a country made up of more than 120 million potential coaches. So they all have their own list and their own questions. So we, the coaching staff, understand that that's part of the job that we are in, and we understand that that's the way it is. So we just try to be fair with everybody. We try and we do analyze every single game. Every weekend, we go to 6, 7, 8 different games between the 5 of us in the coaching staff. And we have a way to analyze the games. We compare our comments and our analysis of the games, and then we decide on the players. After that, it's just a matter of taking the way it is. So, like you said in your question, we'll be criticized no matter what. And we understand that's part of the business, that's part of this job, and just like I said before, I just try to be fair and honest with everybody.
Juan Carlos, I marvel at your career, and I know it going all the way back to Southern Connecticut State, Major League Soccer, Manchester City, Puebla, Atletico Nacional, Sao Paulo. I mean, we're talking about very big clubs here that you have managed. Did all of this prepare you for the pressure in Mexico? Because as a human being can only take so much. How do you handle that pressure that you get in Mexico?
Very good question. First of all, and I hope I don't hurt anybody, but I don't watch any television programs, or I don't read any paper. I don't follow any TV program with pundits and experts, so-called experts. Mm-hmm. I just concentrate on my task at hand. I watch between 10 and 15 games a week. I train every other day in the morning, first thing in the morning. I like to watch football. I call it football retro or soccer retro, which means Ajax and the Dutch national team from 74, 78. I go back and watch a lot of the Champions League finals since, you know, the time that Milan versus Barcelona with Johan Cruyff and Capello and all those top coaches. And I try to learn, try to revise all those games and try to concentrate on what I have to do rather than trying to understand why and how the criticism comes from. And I read a lot about leadership. I spend a lot of time in watching other top managers. Well, not that I am, you know, watching the top managers in the football world, Ferguson, Guardiola, Simeone, Bielsa, Ancelotti, all those top coaches, and watch the press conferences and try to learn from them, as opposed to spending time listening to the critics.
Juan Carlos Osorio, this is a special moment here on ESPN 97.5, getting the man who is in charge of Mexico. Just a reminder, Juan Carlos Osorio is 13-1-2 with Mexico since 2016. So it's pretty remarkable. And you know, Juan Carlos, you have a lot of fans here in the United States because of all the time you've spent here.
You mean me personally?
Yes, you personally. You do. You have a lot of people that are rooting for you because a lot of people are going to say Juan Carlos Osorio is a part of the American system. You know, we're going to kind of claim you.
I didn't know that, but now that you mentioned it, I can only be very thankful to you. And I used to say that I try to work as hard as I can to be recognized as a top, you know, as a good trainer, good coach, make my family proud, made my country proud of our job. But now that you mentioned them, I have another one more motivation, and it's to make you, to represent you all that.
Well, I think it's true. I mean, it may not be quite as high on the day the U.S. plays Mexico, but I think at the other time periods, I think it's excellent. I want to take you into the rotation policy that you believe in, and what are the advantages of the rotation policy and really using the breadth and the depth of your roster and your players?
I think that's an excellent question. To start with, I would say that goes back to my roots in England and United States, where all the collective sports, the team sports like American football, even baseball, basketball, volleyball, and this is a sport that my favorite sport to watch is rugby. They all rotate the squad. They all believe in rotation. Now, I need to say that the first person that introduced me to that was Mr. Ferguson. And I think if there is one man that knows about competitiveness, about generating a healthy, competitive work environment, he has to be Ferguson. He rebuilt Man United through 25 years and won plenty of trophies, and always under that philosophy that you have to rotate the squad, you have to give the players the opportunity to to compete for a position. So there is no automatic position, and there is nobody falling into the comfort zone. And if there is, you will have to pay for that attitude with a C, attitude, no aptitude. And ever since I heard that from Ferguson, Mr. Ferguson himself, back in 2001, when I went to England and worked for Manchester City and asked him to allow me to watch the training sessions, then he really put a mark on my career.
Yeah, it's fascinating the influences you've had, Juan Carlos. And again, I mentioned that you're 13-1-2 with Mexico. It's unbelievable. And you still get criticized at times because of the rotation policy. I want to take you back to the Chile game in Copa Centenario. It's a big loss. It was one that got everybody stirred up. And my understanding, I read somewhere that you went on a little bit of a sabbatical, and you went and met one of your mentors, Marcelo Bielsa, the former Argentina coach. Can you expand on that a little bit?
Well, I think when you are in a winning streak, everything is fine and well. And we were winning. We were favorites to many people. We were doing really well. And then it came the loss. And I think when that happened, that made me realize that I do have a lot to learn. So I look for help on one or two top managers that are A, I admire, and B, have gone through a similar situation. And nobody better than Marcelo Bielsa. You remember him with Argentina, one of the best teams in Korea and Japan. He didn't succeed. And the 5 days that I spent with him was a tremendous positive experience for me. I exchanged a lot of ideas with him. I learned a lot. And there is a very famous writer in Argentina, Jorge Luis Borges. And he wrote once that the humble defeat has the humility that the noisy victory doesn't deserve. And I think that sets it all. When you lose and you are magnanimous in defeat, then there is a great chance for learning. If you don't learn from the defeat, then I think the arrogance takes over. And that's a recipe for defeat and for stubbornness. So I think that I learned a lot from the games that we have won at club level and with the national team. But if I have to give you just one game that I learned the most, I think that was that defeat.
Juan Carlos Osorio joining us. Juan, we'll ask you one more question. We'll let you go. We really thank you so much for coming on the program and really sharing a lot of this wonderful information. I have to think that you're proud of a couple of your compatriots here in the U.S. Wilmer Cabrera here in Houston, Oscar Perea in Dallas are guys that you know very well and you know from Major League Soccer. And I must say that all of you as Colombian coaches are doing so well. I would have to think that you're very proud to seeing them get real opportunity in Major League Soccer and take advantage of it.
Yes, I am. I think Wilmer and Oscar are doing a terrific job. I can only congratulate them. And I am very proud of the very good job that they are doing, both at the club, and hopefully they will continue doing so.
Well, thank you very much, Juan Carlos. We do appreciate it. Best of luck in your future with Mexico. A lot of people have really watched your career that has just continued to blossom. And thank you very much for coming on the program tonight.
Once again, Mr. Davis, thank you very much for your words. And hopefully we'll continue on learning and growing. And hopefully we'll make proud all of you that believe in our job.
Thank you. Juan Carlos Osorio, Mexican national team coach. What a great moment there to catch up with him on everything Mexico. Fascinating interview there with Juan Carlos Osorio, the Mexican national team coach. Right now, a quick word here to remind you that nothing goes better together than great friends and Bud Light. Spring is here. Get out on a patio, post up at the pool, or come out and watch soccer live. But most importantly, grab your friends and an ice-cold bucket of Bud Lights, whether it's tonight, tomorrow, or any other day of the week. Remember, it's not about the parties. It's about the friends you made along the way. Bud Light, official beer of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 every Wednesday at 7 p.m. And a word here, a place you can get a Bud Light. Get over to the King's Court. It's in Edo, right next to the stadium, 903 Hutchins, 13 TVs at King's Court. King's Court has 24 taps, a full bar, extensive selection of spirits, plus wonderful pub food. Get over to King's Court. I hang out there after Dynamo games. You can go there pre and post with El Batallón, the great supporters group. It's a good time. It's fun. Visit the rooftop deck and patio. You want to get up for the game, that's the place to go. King's Court, right next to BBVA Compass Stadium. Say hello to Jay at King's Court. KingsCourtTexas.com. We'll take a break. We've got more to come. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5.
Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. Frequent guest on the show, and we always appreciate when she comes on. FIFA World Player of the Year, Houston Dash, U.S. Women's National Team, Manchester City. She's Carly Lloyd. Carly joins us now. Carly, thank you very much for coming on.
Yeah, no problem.
Well, I hate to start off on sort of a sad note, but it is a sad note. We all have bantered around the loss of Tony DeChico, who's done so much for the women's game. I just wanted to kind of get your thoughts on Tony and maybe heartfelt what you feel right now after his passing.
Yeah, wrapped up training the other day and, as standard, kind of go on your phone and happened to scroll through Twitter, and to be quite honest, I was shocked. You know, I had no idea that he was sick or there was anything wrong with him. And one of those things where, you know, you're obviously not expecting it, and, just really sad. I mean, 68, young, in my opinion, and just really, really sad. You know, I feel terribly sad for his friends and family, and I know that's probably something tough that they've obviously all been going through, but he's left a legacy that I don't know that anyone will ever come close to. That he's led the national team from 94 to 99, World Cup, Olympics. He never coached me, but out of all the stories and things you're hearing from former players, he was a great coach and a great person, and did so much for the game. I know I'm super thankful because he pushed on the program, and he, created a culture of what this team's about. So very thankful for kind of him paving the way, as well as obviously the players on the 99 squad. And he's definitely leaving a legacy that probably not too many people will compete with. So super sad, and it's just one of those things where you don't want to hear those type of news.
Yeah, agreed. Let's move on to your experience at Manchester City, because I know you're a seeker. You're always out there looking for different challenges and different experiences. That was one of the things you mentioned on this show before you went, and to many other people in the media. So how about the Manchester City experience? Let's just kind of get a little synopsis on that.
It was a great experience. It was obviously a short stint, just 3 months over there. But you know, I've said in loads of my interviews that, you know, not only was this a professional, you know, decision that went into this, but also a personal one as well. You know, living abroad, you know, driving on the opposite road, taking in the culture. It's one thing to visit a country. It's another thing to learn it, live in it, and learn how to kind of adapt. And so for me to be able to not only get experience on the professional side, but personally as well, culturally. So that to me, you know, is definitely going to go a long way. And I know that my time spent there during the time is going to pay dividends in the future for me, as a person, as a player. I, you know, built a lot of relationships over there. I got connected with some amazing people at Man City. I got to compete in a different league and be able to kind of compare where our league stands from their league, and just really, you know, take it all in. Obviously, there's a lot of money in the culture of football over there with Man City, and they have the funds to do many things. Their facilities were world class, and it's something you obviously don't see here in America. But it was truly unbelievable, and you know, really excited that I was able to do it, and then, you know, be able to come here back with the Dash as well.
Carly, I get the sense there's a Carly the Explorer side to you that you like to explore.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, I just love challenges. I think, you know, what keeps me going and what keeps me ticking is I love to be challenged. I love to be uncomfortable. I love to just continue to push on because I know that's making me better. And, you know, it may not happen overnight, but, you know, my thinking is I'm preparing for 2019 World Cup, 2020 Olympics. That's my last hurrah. And everything I do now and everything I have done in the past is ultimately geared around that. But at some point, you do have to switch your attention a little bit to plan for the future. And I can't play this game that I love forever. So the Man City decision was, you know, also a business decision as well, to be able to go over there and build relationships. And I know they've talked about, you know, possibly having a women's team part of NYFC. So there's, you know, loads of different things and opportunities that I may be able to do post career. And for me, that was, you know, a good decision to be able to just keep challenging myself across the pond.
Carly Lloyd joining us here on ESPN 97.5. So comparatively speaking, because you did kind of pose that question yourself, just that now having played over in England and played with Manchester City, let's just compare the two styles of soccer, the two leagues.
Well, I think over in England, you know, it's obviously still an up-and-coming league, and I think our league is as well. Over there, you know, Man City has done a phenomenal job in 4 years to get where they've gotten. That's credit to the players, to the staff, to the organization. You know, some of the other teams, Chelsea, Arsenal, even Birmingham has had a good year. Some of the other teams are not quite there yet, but they also don't have the funding and they don't have some of the players. So over there, you know, you're going to sign with a team wherever you want. Here in the NWSL, we've got the national teams who are allocated spread amongst the league, which I do think helps the level and the standard of the league, and kind of disperse things around. I would say the league here in the NWSL is probably more of a transition, more of a running game. There are technical players in this league, but I do think that, you know, probably they're a bit more technical overseas and over England, just as far as, you know, the kind of the basic type stuff. But the mentality is a little bit different. You know, I think in England, the mentality is still up and coming, you know, kind of that will, that desire, that fight. Whereas here in the NWSL, I think there's obviously players, you know, in the American culture that kind of have that will and desire. So, you know, there's no wrong way. It's just different. And I think both leagues are coming into their own with each passing year.
Based on the style of play with Manchester City, as opposed maybe here in the NWSL, were there different things you individually as a player did over there or was asked to do more maybe in that type of a setup? And then did it afford you an opportunity to work on a different aspect of your game?
Yeah, definitely. It definitely was different. You know, we at Man City had a very structured way of playing. I was typically usually on the left side, or maybe I would play up top. Now, you had a lot of teams who would sit in and bunker, so we had to kind of deal with that and get, you know, creative and try to break those types of teams down. You are seeing teams play against us, the U.S., with a bunker-type style. So I think that, in a sense, you know, could translate and help me since we faced it a lot at Man City. But, you know, very different way of playing. It was very physical in that league. It's physical in the NWSL, but it's a little bit different physicality. I might have had a target or bullseye on me a little bit when I was over there. But, you know, I was able to deal with it and handle it. So it's, just a little bit different. But I know that, you know, I always learn. I'm always learning, always finding ways to learn. And I use the facilities every single day from morning till night, did a lot of extra stuff. So, you know, kind of just learned that I've got to continue to keep up with my routine. And, everything, you know, is definitely going to pay off in my career for sure.
Let's switch gears to the Dash a little bit. Now that you're back here and, you know, you get a game or so under your belt here and you're able kind of to assess where the team is right now, where do you think it is? And do you think the team's capable of making a push and potentially getting in the playoffs here?
Well, like I said a few minutes ago, I always like a challenge, and this is definitely a challenge, not only coming in three months late to a season, but coming in 3 months late to a season where we are at the bottom of the table and we've had a coaching change. So I know the players, the girls have been going through a lot of things. But at the end of the day, that's all done and dusted, and we're in the now. We've got to look to the future, and we just really have to take it one game at a time. I think obviously the transition has been okay. You know, for me coming in here, it's my job to lead. It's my job to lead the team and lead it in a way that our mentality, you know, has to change. Yes, we want to think about playoffs. Yes, we want to think about goals. But I think if we can change the mentality a bit and go out there every single training session and work as hard as we can and go out there every single game and empty the tank and leave the match with our heads held high, things are eventually going to fall our way. And it may not happen overnight. But I really believe that, you know, we kind of have to shift that mentality. There's no excuses anymore. It just has to be a will and a desire to want to win and to want to work as hard as you can. So that, for me, is kind of the messaging to players. You know, I don't care if players give the ball up or they make a mistake. We all make mistakes. But at the end of the day, you have very few things that you can control in soccer, and that is your work ethic, your mentality, and being as fit as you can. So that's been my messaging, and I think we're in a good spot, and we're bouncing back from this past game. and we're going to be ready to go on Saturday.
I think that was I loved when you came back and you were bold and you questioned the fitness level, and I thought it was incredibly refreshing that you just said it's my job to lead this team, because I think, you know, you have the powers to be so inspirational. And I think when the fans and your teammates hear you come back in and say, hey, we could all be a fitter team here, it would benefit us, I think this is very, very, very positive.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not here to point fingers or, you know, come up with a load of excuses as to what happened in the last 3 months. You know, I wasn't here. I don't really know what was going on. But from my assessment in one match, you know, we do need to be fitter. And I've been a person who has prided myself in fitness, in working hard. Because I wasn't always a fit player. And I know that if you put in the work and you just put your mind to it, you can become fitter. It's a controllable thing. And that's one of the things that helps you win games. It's a really important piece. So I want to have the accountability with every single player on this team that, you know, hey, if you're not feeling good or you can't run all game long, you've got to, you know, seek someone and do some extra running or work a little bit harder in training. That's sort of the mentality. I mean, you're not going to see me as a cheerleader leading this team. You know, I'm going to be honest. I'm going to be blunt. But I'm also going to be encouraging people, you know, to take risks and to try different things. But you know, it's hard to play catch up when, you know, the team's gone 3 months with maybe not as intense training. In this league, you've got to be fit. So for me, it's not a knock on anyone, but we really don't have any excuses that we can come up with. We've just got to have that will and the desire to get it done.
Carly, as always, thank you so much for coming on the program. Best of luck with the Dash the rest of the NWSL season. We look forward to having you on again in the future. We love your thoughts. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much. Always a pleasure.
All right, that's Carly Lloyd, Houston Dash, and they are in action here in the NWSL. That'll do it tonight for Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. A reminder here, if you want an Irish pub with an Irish feel, Gorgeous Gale is the place for you. Head over to Gorgeous Gale, 5555 Morningside. Catch all the best soccer matches there. Stop in for a pint and a bite. Whiskey offering. Say hello to my friend Peter. Again, it is the Gorgeous Gale. It's the place to be. TheGorgeousGale.com, official pub of Soccer Matters. For Tyler Scott, I'm Glenn Davis. Don't forget Twitter, Glenn Davis Soc, Facebook, Soccer Matters. And until Friday night, it's the best in soccer talk always here on ESPN 975.